Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, get yourselves ready. Brace yourselves in.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Okay, my friends, as always, a little ears warning with this one. Remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. Our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, is here to talk through your emails, your text messages. Rachel, good morning.
Hi, Jen. How's it going?
Grant, how are you?
I'm good, and I am excited because I've been rubbing my hands together at all these questions. We've got loads as usual, and they're very varied.
You love this. You love this. It's very relationship-y this week, I'm going to say.
Yeah, okay.
There's
lots
in here and very lengthy emails as well. So first of all, thank you for getting in touch with the show. And remember, you can always get in touch with us, jen@rt.ie. So we'll kick off. The first one says, myself and my partner of 6 years are having problems in the bedroom. We have been for the last few years, actually. It's constantly me initiating everything in the bedroom, or me being affectionate, etc. I genuinely get nothing back. I basically feel like she has no interest in me at times, and it's so hurtful. I've tried talking to her, but she said she isn't an affectionate person. And in the bedroom, I've talked about that also and have said we need to take turns each week, and she would do it for about a week, and then it's, you know, back to normal. I suppose that's initiating sex. I really need some advice on this because I don't want to lose her, but I can't keep going on like this because I'm afraid it's just going to get worse and worse and worse as we get older. Help me.
Very good question, because this is something that I would say affects almost every couple to some degree, where you're going to find that over time there's a discrepancy in your sexual desire, the types of sex that you like to have, the times of day that can be affected by stress at work, medications you're taking, injuries that you have, you know, just the effect of being together for a long period of time, especially if you're living together. Sometimes that can, you know, just take a bit of work because it sort of dulls the excitement, or can do, you know, often does kind of have a dulling effect on the sort of sexual excitement. And then there's the fact that often people are just not that sexually compatible. You know, this person has said they've been having problems the last few years. You know, does that mean it was very different the first few years? You know, sometimes you have this initial period of infatuation and feel very strongly towards each other sexually and are having a lot of sex at the start of a relationship. Not for everybody, but often it happens. But sometimes when that initial period has settled down, people discover that they're actually quite or very sexually incompatible. Now, that doesn't have to mean that they have to break up. But I think, you know, this person has said they've tried talking to their partner. They need to sit down and have a lot more chats about this. You know, some people have more. Go on, Jen.
I was just going to say, the big red flag in that is, for me, the fact that she doesn't want to talk about it. I mean, do you find that, Rachel, with couples, if one is, you know, unwilling to communicate about the issue? I mean, that's a big red flag.
It's often both, you know, it's a red flag, but it's more like a red flag for the person within themselves. You know, most of us are frightened of having hard conversations because we're afraid that it will mean that the relationship will be over, you know, and often that's catastrophic thinking. It's, you know, it's actually going to be much more helpful if you're able to put the problems on the table and do that in, you know, a kind of open, gentle, curious way rather than being demanding or aggressive or defensive. A lot of us don't have experience of that. Most people grew up with not very good models of healthy conflict in their household. You know, either everything was swept under the rug, or people avoided things and then kind of blew up at some point, or people were very sort of aggressive and, you know, were having kind of really open, shouty conflict that didn't really go anywhere, or maybe one person out of the parents, you know, always got their way and the other one was sort of, you know, much more submissive and this sort of thing. So most of us just don't have very good models of how to have, it doesn't even have to be conflict. It can just be sort of you know, not quite being on the same page or needing to talk through something together. So there's just a lot of things here. Like, some people have more spontaneous desire. Some people have more responsive desire. That can also be to do with socialization. You know, men are conditioned in our society to feel strong and virile through being more dominant, whilst women are socialized to be more passive and submissive. That doesn't mean that it's inherently bad, but it also doesn't mean that that's, in, you know, inherently good either, or how people relate to each other. So this, it could be anything here. This person, you know, his partner might be on the asexual spectrum. She might simply not be attracted to him. Maybe she never was. She might be struggling with anxiety or depression or trauma that makes sex very difficult or undesirable. Or maybe you simply don't know each other's bodies well and how to turn the other on. So it might just be that it's not that she's sexually, you know, unattracted to this person. She just doesn't feel turned on by how he engages with her. So without more information, we don't know.
So many reasons why she's acting like this. But I suppose the question is, how do you get someone to talk that doesn't want to talk? Is it a case where he goes to her, look, if we don't talk about this, I'm leaving? Would a fear of loss come into that? Because they have said in their message, I cannot go on like this. So should they make that known to the other person that we're at breaking point here? Like, if you don't talk or we don't talk about this, I'm gone.
I think it's important to make it clear that it's something that is really bothering you and that you're really keen to address. But if you say to someone, I'm gone unless you sort this out, it's very likely to make them, you know, have a meltdown or clam up further, because you're giving them an ultimatum which is going to make them feel backed into a corner. So usually that doesn't go well at all. But I think if you're kind of just being a bit sort of tiptoeing around the issue, going, oh yeah, I'd really like to have more sex, and you don't initiate, can you initiate more? You know, the person doesn't really have a sense, probably. They're avoiding, you know, they're avoiding engaging with the consequences. So I would say this person needs to speak, you know, with I statements from their own experience and say, you know, I'm finding this really difficult. I really, you know, it could be that they talk about how they, you know, feel really connected to their partner when they have sex, that they'd really like to understand better how they might support their partner to want to have more sex, you know, and that if they discover that this person really just has a much lower sex drive or is not attracted to them anymore or never was, that, you know, that doesn't, again, have to necessarily mean that you break up, but it might mean that you do things a bit differently in your relationship. Sure. You know, usually the fear is, we're going to break up and I'm going to feel like an awful person, so I'm just going to avoid the conversation instead. Or maybe this person has found, you know, the partner has found that when she tries to open up to the person who's written in or send in the message, that he becomes maybe very defensive and denies, you know, his side in it. So, you know, you've got to look at your own part in that as well. But absolutely, I would say, yeah, definitely.
Got to get talking whatever way you can. Hi, Jen and Rachel. Please keep me anonymous. I've been going back and forth on whether to write this email or not. There's so much going on. It feels like a tangled web. So I have been married for 11 years. We have two kids at 10 and 8. I am a stay-at-home mom, which I don't mind, but it leaves me completely financially dependent on my husband. The problem is, I'm not sure I want to be in this marriage any longer. We have no connection anymore, intimate or otherwise. I'm not sure we ever really did, to be honest. We argue a lot and he can make life so difficult, gaslighting, controlling on occasion. I suffer from depression. I have done since I was 15 years old. I've never told anyone apart from my GP. I'm currently on medication, and I have been for the last 2 years. Sometimes I wonder, is my depression the reason why I'm so unhappy in my marriage? And is it a case of the grass is always greener? I have a lot of emotional trauma from my past, and I think this has hindered me being able to make any true emotional connection to anyone. I feel so utterly lost and alone. Most of all, I feel sad that I have never felt true love and probably never will. Please help. Whoa.
Gosh, I mean, there's just so much, you know, this person sounds like they're in agony.
Yeah.
It sounds like it must be awful, you know, and there's quite a few different strands here. So I would say, starting with, you know, the key to me here is the mention of depression and emotional trauma in this person's past. You know, I would highly, highly recommend working with a trauma therapist specifically. You know, there are so many different trauma modalities out there now, many of which don't even involve you needing to tell the therapist the details of your trauma. You know, often I have people come to me and say, I just cannot bear to talk about this thing because it's so painful. And, you know, we know now from research over the last last 30, 40 years that you don't actually need to share the details in order to be able to process a huge amount of that. Now, often in time, you'll feel much more comfortable talking about it, especially if you feel comfortable with the therapist and you trust them. But that can be, you know, something that often stops people is the, you know, that either they don't have words for what they experienced. Maybe it was something that happened to them when they were a child, or it just is so awful sounding to them and feel is so painful that they don't feel they can talk about it. You know, then if her husband is gaslighting her and controlling her, that means he's emotionally abusing her, which is of course going to be contributing to her depression. And there's only so much that medication can do when you're in a situation that's destructive to your well-being.
Sure.
You know, it's absolutely understandable for this person to be feeling lost and alone. And I want them to know, you know, you're not alone. There's definitely help out there from professionals who are very experienced working with people in similar situations. And it may very well be possible to have a better relationship with her husband if she gets support. And if that isn't possible, then you can, you know, work towards separating as consciously and amicably as possible. And also just the, you know, the reminder that no matter what age you are, there is the potential to have better relationships and to have love in your life.
Totally.
So, you know, I just hear so much sadness in this person and want to give them some comfort and reassurance that, you know, the first step there is to access therapy, I would say, in some way.
Okay.
And then it will become clearer later on whether, you know, you can make that better with your husband.
Step by step, right? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot to unfold there, but the first step is going to see a trauma expert, a trauma counsellor, what did you call it?
Yeah, any kind of trauma therapist.
Therapist.
So many modalities now. You've got EMDR, which is quite a common one and doesn't really involve very much talking at all. Then you have things like sensory motor psychotherapy, somatic experiencing. You have things like IFS, which is internal family systems. You know, there are lots and lots of types of therapy now which don't involve just kind of sitting in a room or on a couch telling the therapist what has happened in your life, that they will be much more engaged in working with your body and how to kind of access and release trauma in ways that don't have to fully make sense to you, but certainly hopefully that therapist will be able to tell you a bit more about that and have you feel really safe and comfortable about how, you know, that process is likely to
get you on the right track. Brilliant. Okay, thanks for that. Hi Rachel, I broke up with a guy I was seeing a few months ago and I cannot stop stalking him. I'm always on his social media. I check in to see when he's on WhatsApp. I've driven by his home and keep replaying his voice messages. Whoa, okay. I can't stop. And I know it's crazy behavior. Oh God, help this person stop, Rachel.
Yeah, so this is more common than most people think.
Okay.
And it happens with people of all genders, all sexualities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically, it's normal to be curious about your ex's life occasionally because maybe you were a big part of it for a while. Maybe they meant a lot to you. But checking up on this person becomes problematic if it's making you feel bad or it becomes an obsession or it's actually sort of, you know, kind of prying into their, being intrusive into their life. You know, and this person needs to know you can stop. And you do need to stop, which is probably going to be a lot easier with the help of a therapist. You know, you've got to delve into why you're having such a hard time letting go and accepting that this relationship is over. Probably there's going to be a lot of connections to past pain, you know, whether that's that you're, you know, not that every child who goes through their parents divorcing experiences this, but, you know, often, you know, when parents are either unhappy together or they choose to divorce, often that's just not dealt with particularly well with the children. Now, of course, that's not only to do with parents separating. It also applies to parents being, you know, not dealing with their own stuff in their own life. Maybe it's nothing to do with their parents. It might have been to do with, you know, relationships they had with peers at school or teachers. There's just so many possibilities as to, you know, what has informed how this person manages grief and loss. And so something that is quite common, especially now in the days of social media being so, you know, massive and everybody using it, is that you have this capacity to check up on people in the way that you didn't 20 years ago. You know, so some other advice mm-hmm. would be, you know, find a replacement habit, you know, get back dating. That can help you sort of move on and, you know, just sort of be able to
stalk someone else.
Time.
Yeah.
Stalk someone else. Stalk a celebrity. You know, someone, stalk a celebrity instead of someone that you've actually been out with.
The creepy part of that is the playing the voice messages and driving by their house. I mean, that is a little step too far. That's when you need to check yourself, right?
Well, yes. So replaying messages, that's still sticking to something that was, you know, consensually sent to you and isn't causing anyone any harm. Driving by someone's house, that is starting to get into the territory of harassment, which is dangerous because that, you know, he could notice that. He could start to feel unsafe around that. You know, it is an invasion of his kind of privacy. So I would say, you know, this person might want to think about blocking all of this person's social media accounts, delete everything, his number, texts, emails, unfriend him, unfollow him, erase all his messages. You know, do anything that you can to not be tempted to check up on the person. And yeah, you might even want to take a break from social media, ask your friends for support, you know, tell them they're not allowed to fill you in on his activities or let you use their accounts, their social media accounts, if you've decided to take a break from yours. Yeah, and just do things like get yourself, you know, more engaged in your work, surround yourself with friends, go to the gym or do exercise, get into hobbies, have you accomplishing things that raise your self-esteem. That can be helpful, you know, and be self-compassionate too. Be self-compassionate, but firm, you know, don't delude yourself that this will bring you joy or that it's okay to continue doing this. But it's also not helpful to feel a ton of shame and be really, you know, critical and horrible towards yourself either, because this is where this person is right now. So I would say get some support.
Totally. Okay. Lastly, we'll finish on this. Hi, Rachel. I want to buy my first vibrator, but I don't know where to start.
Oh, I mean, we were only talking about magic wands and clit suckers last week. The world is your oyster. I would say literally a quick Google. There are tons of brilliant sites out there. I would say just get your hands on a couple of different kinds of vibrators and toys to begin with.
Try a few, you know, don't limit yourself. Try a few. Maybe two or three.
Exactly. You know,
that
you
over the weekend.
Maybe pick something you've already you already know and like the look of. Maybe try something you've never heard of. Put a wild card in there. Talk to friends. Ask friends about ones that they really are into and like. They can maybe give you some recommendations. There is so much out there. And yeah, you're going to have a ball.
Knock yourself out. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll see you next week. That is Rachel Cook, our sex and relationships therapist. You can follow her on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And if there's anything you would like us to chat about, or if you have any problems, you can always email the show, jen@orty.ie. with anything about your lad, your lady, or even your langer. We don't care. Get them into me. jen@orty.ie. She'll be back next week.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.